Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to be with each of you who will join us tonight. We're grateful for those who have joined us in the past and in the future, those who will join us. Nonetheless, tonight is May the 11th, 2021. Like a train that has become derailed from its track while in motion, the young mind that lacks pro-social guidance is prone to cause catastrophic damage to everything. There are many who profess to know how to get wayward young people back on track. Oh, they'll tell you they do. But they lack the patience, the understanding, and the sincere interest in doing what it takes to get young, energetic, creative, and troubled souls in step with others who are ready and waiting to help them. Join me tonight in our topic, how to get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. I don't need to tell you how all things have gotten in the past year. But frankly, prior to the past year, things have been off track. I guess you can argue that the good news is it brought attention just how off track, out of the norms, certain behaviors were. All right, this is May 11th. You're listening to Talk Straight, and we're going to go into our monologue. And our topic tonight is how to get a derailed mind back on track. 657-0944 is the number to call into the studio tonight. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Be happy to engage you in substantive conversation. All I ask is that you keep it relevant to our topic and that we show respect and courtesy to one another while on the air. All right. That's not too hard. We can do that. We can do that. So the text tonight, Proverbs 23, verses 7 through 9, here's what it says. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Verse 8 says, the morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit it up and lose thy sweet words. Lastly, verse 9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. That is apropos to the discussion that we aim to engage in tonight. And I encourage you again to give me a call here. I'd be happy to talk with you. If you're listening, you're following us on Facebook Live, if you're following on the Blog Talk Radio platform, either way you're following us, give us a call here. The number is 657-383-0944. And we will accept your questions, your comments without any judgment. All right? We do talk straight here, though. That's what we do. The text suggests that where people are is where you ought to meet them and accept them. Yeah. Typically, it comes out of their mouth. It's what's in their heart. Now, I would argue that as we talk about the derailed mind, and we talk about particularly young folk who express derailment in their actions and their thoughts, even today, that it's important to listen to them to understand where they are, to examine the logic behind decisions that they make. And then you'll be better able to redirect, to guide, encourage, and instruct them. I want to talk about a couple of things briefly. The mind and what's called mechanical derailment in relationship to another concept, thought disorder. That's where I want to go tonight. Mechanical derailment. It kind of helps you understand what a derailment is. So I'll give you an example of a mechanical derailment. And then thought disorder or this mental derailment that I'm alluding to. And then I want to offer about 5 steps, things that I believe we can do, concerned individuals can do, to help get this derailed mind back on track. Is that all right? All right. Let's make it. Let's make it happen, beloved. All right, 657-383-0944. Again, that's the number to call. Here we go. So first, I'd like to kind of talk about the mind. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people who have different ideas about what the mind is and how it functions and what have you. But I'd like to try to, for the sake of our conversation, offer a workable definition here. All right, so when we talk about the mind, I'm speaking of a human being or the human consciousness, okay? That element or that part within people, the substance or the process for reasoning, feelings, and even perceptions or judgments, right? That's what we're talking about, that controls and drives those things. Now, when we look at what psychology is, we're dealing with the totality of an individual's consciousness, his conscious mind, or even their unconscious mental processes. When we examine the psychology of an individual person, so we see this manifest in their actions, their behaviors. So we're not judging anyone; we're simply analyzing the behavior that is in front of us. You understand what I'm saying? Hence, we can see how things get off track, go off the rail. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I wouldn't doubt that anyone has infinite value. And even young folk that get caught up in some of the worst things in society, somewhere on the inside of it is some good that is worth pulling out. Can I get a witness? I said some good that is worth pulling out. And unfortunately, there are a number of variables that either enable or make it impossible for us to get that out of everybody. I've heard people say all the time, everybody ain't going to be successful. Everybody ain't going to make it. Suppose somebody decided that you're going to be the one that won't make it. And they'll do everything they can to take what you got so that they can make it ahead of you. I don't think we would like that. So I believe the real tack that we should take is that we're going to make it available to everybody to make it. We're going to show them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to educate them, empower them. See, I think we can go a lot further that way with getting, if not everybody, most of them on the right track. Are you with me? All right. All right. Let's talk about this mechanical derailment. So a derailment occurs when something like a vehicle, such as a train, runs off of its rails that it's designed to ride on. This does not necessarily mean, though, that the train leaves the track. Okay? Some derailments are small in nature, but all of them cause a temporary disruption in the proper operation of the railroad system. Because of that, or the fact that commuter trains transport people, it places those people, the precious cargo, potentially in seriously hazardous situations. And this is why this is particularly concerning to us with commuter trains. When they derail, people's lives are at risk. And I'd like for you to consider how this other type of derailment that I want to introduce to you, that is thought disorder, as it's referred to quite often, how it causes disruptions not only in the individual's life with the poor thought, but others that are around it. Now, in the field of psychiatry, generally DSM-3, the current model edition of it, typically identifies derailment as a thought disorder. And you can know it because it's characterized by communication that is consisting of a sequence of things that are unrelated or only remotely related to current issues and what is real. Now, the frame of reference for an individual with thought disorder derailment often changes from one sentence to the next. And it never ceases to amaze me how you talk to certain people and you try to hold a sensible conversation with them about current events and where we are in our nation and our country and really where they want to go. And they're all over the place. Don't make them a bad person, but it's indicators. You can't keep them focused on one thing so that we can tie that down and get that right. They're all over the place. The mind is just racing. Are you with me? Things are off the track, man. Now, I'm not a behavioral specialist or anything. I'm a social scientist, but I'm not a clinician or a behavioral specialist. I'm just a little familiar with some of the aspects of it, and that's what we're sharing with you. You can recognize what I was just describing when you hear what's called slippage of idea. Times say one thing and don't really mean that, and they don't have the ability to control their communication and their words, their thoughts that are coming out in conversation. Further, from the point they go in various discussions, derailment is often manifestly caused by intense emotion. Sometimes when people are full of emotions such as anger, frustration, anxiety, hard for them to think straight, hard for them to be focused. Don't make them a bad person, but it explains something. If we want to help our young people, we have to take this into consideration in 2021. What is not going to happen is the circumstance and time is not going to stop and wait on them to get it together. Nor would it wait on their parents or their neighborhood, their community, their church to get it together. It'll move on without them and they'll leave them. And what happens is we find more and more incidents where they have negative engagement with law enforcement. There is carnage in neighborhoods on streets with black-on-black crime and things of that nature. So how do we deal with that, Doctor? Let's recognize what's really going on. I would humbly submit to you that quite likely there is some derailment here. It never ceased to amaze me how older folk who you would assume have lived their life, have learned certain things, and moved on. You find them often triggering young people and encouraging them to be derailed in their thinking because they're stuck in a certain time, in a certain era. They want to encourage young people to live their pain vicariously, allow them to live their pain vicariously through the young folk over again. So they kind of get enjoyment from that. Is that helping our babies? Nah. Some of them are professional people now. Don't get me wrong. They're very professional people. We encourage young folk to be derailed in their thinking. I want to talk about a few things that I believe would be helpful to get this young mind back on track. Okay, now, I don't have no money for you, no materials for you, but it's interesting where we see things today on this May 11, 2021. It's interesting where we see things. This time last year, people were caused to be afraid and stuck at home and locked up somewhere. Things were shut down. Some people were still out in the streets doing things like committing crimes, robbing, stealing, killing, gang banging, drug dealing. That didn't stop with them. And guess what? Here we are, May 11, 2021, and it still hadn't stopped. What's going on? What's most important is, what is it that any of us who are concerned about the well-being, safety, the security, and the forward progress, this populace, what are we willing to do? What is it that can be done? First, you got to be honest with people. You got to call out what you see. Yes, call an ace an ace and a spade a spade. Don't try to glorify it. Don't try to fix it up. And you love people when you tell the truth, see? That's what we do here. We talk straight. You love them when you tell them the truth. You don't mean them no harm. But you got to make sure you tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You heard what Jesus said. And ye shall know the truth. Truth will make you free. Want to be free today? Let me tell you something. One consideration. I'm convinced some kind of way we have to arrest these young folk from the false reality that despite their upbringing and their circumstances, the world or society owes them something. Listen to me now. Listen to me. If you don't take your hand and take a spoon or something and feed yourself, you're going to go hungry. Don't nobody have to feed you. Now, sadly, there are people who perhaps don't know how to properly feed themselves. Ideally, we learn that growing up as children. And figuratively, I'm talking about the fact that there are too many beautiful, bright, talented, creative minds who are in this derailed thought that somehow they're supposed to get it all for free with little or no work. Let me tell you the truth. That dog will not hunt. Never have, and it never will. So we have to arrest him from that thought in a loving way. Then, once we have arrested them, taken them out of that, then we must impart or invest them with the real truth and ideas about how they maintain themselves. And I don't care how bad your past was. We're not even talking about that. That's one thing. What's important is the opportunity that lies before you right now. When we have turned yesterday around, let's stop wasting our time trying to. But what we can do is learn from yesterday, and we can move forward. Anybody want to go? Let's go. Invest in them. Arrest them from that false thinking, that derail thought. Get them focused and invest them with what is real, what is truthful, what is honest, what is productive. Once you do that, then we look at ways that we can temporarily and long-term change their environment. Uh-oh, doctor. There are three primary causes of disease. It could be either genetic in nature. It could be environmental or behaviorally related. I submit to you that when we find this derailed thought, there are two of the three that are in play, either both at the same time or one of them, and that is some sort of environmental mutation or infection and behavioral, maladaptive behavior. Those are things we can control. Anything that is biological can control the modifying of behavior by fixing a certain environment that is conducive to the changes necessary. Are you with me? Arrest them with the false reality. Invest them with the truth and what is real, and change that environment. Only two more things I got to offer tonight. Then when you change that environment, establish rule and order. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom and all of his righteousness. And everything, I'm paraphrasing, you want will be added to you. Wait, back up. Let's put a pin right there. Seek ye first the kingdom. Stop, the kingdom. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a government, a rule that has a ruler. And when you look at it, you need to seek any type of governance or rule or order that you operate from. So you must establish a standard, a rule or an order for young folk, and hold them to account there. But you see, the problem is grown folk are out of order. Uh-oh, help me up. Too many grown folk are out of order. And as I alluded to earlier, they're encouraging young people to be out of order. Now, it's been said that there's nothing worse than a fool than an old fool, because an old fool had plenty of time to get it together. Establish thinking, the derailment. Invest in them what is real and true. Change their environment, either short-term and or long-term. Establish rule and order moving forward. And then lastly, defend them against anything or anybody that would take them back to their derailment. What you say, doctor? I said create a defense mechanism from the things or people that would take them back to their triggering state or environment, that derailment that we were just talking about. 657-383-0944, that's the number to call. We opening up the phone lines here in just a second. And what I want you to do is to give me a call here. I want to hear from you. I see you. I want to hear from you. Holler at me. 657-383-0904. You don't necessarily have to tell your name. We refer to you by the last four digits of your phone number. You just want to say, I'm how, whatever the case is. I love to talk with you tonight. We open up the phone for dialogue. The Friends of Distinction group back 40-some years ago powerfully put together an idea, and it talked about how somebody's mind was twirling and moving in circles. They were derailed, and they thought they were everywhere. Listen to what they said just for a second. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call.
Without a destination, I'm an ever-spinning car, whirling around.
Tonight we're talking from the topic, how to get a derailed mind on track for success in America. Now, I understand that implied in the topic is that there are some folks whose minds are off track. You better hear me tonight. Yes, there are some people whose mind ain't right. Does that make them a bad person? No, that means we need to help them get their mind right. Have I got a witness? I wish I had a prayer test tonight. Well, we got some folk here with us. We got some folk here with us that can drop it like it's hot. That beautiful lady out of Jacksonville, Florida, is back with us, and her best friend, a good friend, my co-host, your friend, Pastor Richard Wallow, author of two books. Not one, but two. Still High.
All right.
And the Flip Side. Welcome, Brother Pastor. How you doing?
Hey, all right. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
And I'm holding it on the road the best I can.
That's a good thing, man. I can tell you got a real special lady on your mind, too.
I was going to ask you to welcome her for me, Brother Faz. I'm going to turn it over to you so you can welcome her for me.
Yeah. Oh, man, it'd be my honor, man, to introduce such a lady like that. You know, 3072, how are you, first of all?
I am doing glorious. How are you guys? Okay.
Good to hear that. We're doing well. We just want to make sure we welcome you to the talk show and to let you know that you have a slot.
And
you can just let it be known, you know.
I believe it.
All right.
You know, Go ahead.
I was going to ask what the topic was tonight.
So we're talking from the topic. How to get a derailed mind back on track. And I define what derailment was. It's when you engage somebody, 3072, when you start talking to them, you start a good conversation, and they go for way out left field. You don't know how they got there. And before you know it, what's going on? They start complaining and pointing the finger. And you understand what I'm saying? All sorts of things. Have you ever had that experience?
Too many times.
They're good people.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They're good people. But their thoughts are not sound. Don't seem like they're in the right place. And we have a lot of that in 2021 where people are coming out and they're looking for something. And I'm really concerned about young people right now. You know, I don't mean any harm, but I'm really looking to help these young folks stay on track. And the school systems have failed them. A lot of policies have been a little brutal on them, and they've missed out on a lot of things, you know. And they're trying to find their way. I don't blame them. Some of them don't want to go back to work because it's easier to, you know, to get free money than it is to go in there and sweat a little bit by your bra. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
so how do we get there? How do we get there within 37? How do we get to a point where in 2021 we can embrace our young folk and let them know, listen, it's up to you to make the type of life you want for yourself. It's not over,
mm-hmm.
no matter what has happened in the past. Help me
mm-hmm. Well, for one, you really need to be careful. You talk about the younger people, that being an issue with them, but some of us old heads, too, like
Uh-oh.
In the 40s and 50s. And like you say, if you just sit down and look at them, they appear to be decent people, but because of their mindset, you know, that kind of cuts into the cake with a saw or something, you know. So, I guess you just have to keep on being positive and encourage them to make intelligent decisions. That, to me, that's a dumb move. Just like sitting up collecting welfare intentionally to keep from working. I mean, how long is that going to last? And how far is it going to go? Not far at all.
Right.
So
I
don't know. You just...
I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to emphasize to my listening audience, it is not my intention to disparage anyone's character or make them feel bad. But the I'm a welfare baby. I'm a product of welfare, okay? So I can talk about it. But I can tell you also that if you don't do for yourself, if you don't position yourself to do for yourself, guess what? You're only going to have what you have. Ain't going to get no better. Ain't going to get no better.
Yeah, well, and I was just speaking personally for me. There's no way right now I can sit up and wait for a once-a-month check to come and, you know, be able to pay all of what I need to pay and, you know, be content even. I mean, that's another part of our problem in our black community is there's massive depression going on because of economic and social. So
That is so true. That is so
you
true.
Know.
Wow. Well, we're joined by a call out of St. Louis there, 4600. Welcome, sir. We're talking from the topic, how to get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. We got to pick up the pieces here. Question, comments, that's fine.
Well, one way, you don't let it get off the track.
We're there already. We're there already, my friend. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Ruin, and I take my hat off to those Asians. I take my hat off to Tennessee legislature for denouncing critical race theory to be taught in Tennessee schools.
Okay.
And I think that's a good thing because they wouldn't teach it to my kids. But, blacks have got a problem with the education of their children. And they got a big problem.
Okay.
With the performance of their children.
Okay.
And when you look at in the St. Louis area, you got what's called Hazelwood. Hazelwood got three districts. You got Hazelwood East, Hazelwood Central, and Hazelwood West.
Okay.
Hazelwood East is closest to the city. Hazelwood Central is in the middle, and Hazelwood West is out further west. Where the population in the school is 63% black, and the central is 93% black, and Hazelwood East is 98% black.
Okay.
Now, just look at these stats real quick. Well, you got a 98% black student body at Hazelwood East. Your graduation rate is 77%. Math proficiency is 17%. Reading is 35%. When you go to the central, where the black population is 93%, The graduation rate is 86%. Math 28, reading 42. When you go to where it's, the black population is 63%, that means that there's more, less blacks and more everybody else. The graduation rate is 91%. Math 45, reading 52. Now, that ain't white folks' problem.
Okay. How would you?
That is people that look like you. And I guess I can put me in there too. That's their problem because they're not doing what needs to be done.
How do we see? This is where we are in 2021, though, St. Louis. How?
What do we do? I got a simple response to that. I can't love your child more than you do, Ruben.
Well, that'll preach right there, sir. I'm gonna have to give you that one. That is so true. And you should. And you should not. You should not love my child. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Well, let me turn to Pastor Waller. What do you think about that, Pastor? Now I offered five things. I did offer five suggestions as to how where we start and where we should end. And I'll reiterate them in just a minute. But Pastor, what do you think about that? I know you're out there on the ground. You're probably out there right now, Pastor. Probably on the street right now. What do you think about that in terms of the challenge? Because the reality is we're there already. Ain't no need to say we don't get there. We're there. Listen, beloved, we're there. And look, we just got to deal with it, okay? Well, what do you think about that, Pastor?
You put God first is what I would suggest from the start. You know, without without him in it, you know, whatever's going on, it doesn't have no substance to it. You can gain the whole world, but it still don't have any substance to it when it get down to it, according to what I've read in the scripture. You know, he said, other brother, sister, leave all of them and follow him. If you don't do that, he said, you can't even be a part of me. So I don't think it boils down to anything other than putting him first. He's not first.
Okay.
Everything else is obsolete to me. That's personal. It ain't nothing against nobody else. But that's just what I
understand.
Can say. You know, because you can gain a whole lot of things. And then still, the word says, you know, and I'm just standing on this because I haven't always known what it said. And now that I do know a little bit about what it says, I'd rather stand on it than to trust myself. And, that's better for me. So that's where I would be at. I couldn't go nowhere else with it other than right there. You know.
Okay.
It's not a work to be done. And yes, I am on the street. I just, seen some of the guys, and you see the little clip that they just together last night. With these four kids, all of them had a basketball in their hand. It's just the thought of knowing how much they was enjoying themselves. At that moment, you can find a moment of pleasure, a moment of joy, you know, that can supersede anything that has to do with next month or next year. You know, see the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. And it's a lot of things that you said that's already there. You know, it's not like going to get there. It's already there. So what do you do about it? Can you reach out where they are? And give them some positive, you know, to at least let them know that you're concerned about them. And these are not my own kids. You know, they're not my own kids, but as I passed by them, and they were so glad to see that somebody cared for them, you know, I thought that was just, that's godliness, man, at its best, because compassion is strong, compassion is real, compassion is desperately needed, and you know, who's going to give it? If a person has it to offer and don't give it, it's like a person, whatever you have is in vain. So I don't want what I have to offer to be in vain, you know. So that's where I'm at.
All right. Well, we're joined by caller with the last four digits, 4187, with the first three zip code is 832. And we're talking from the topic, how to get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. And we're really looking at it in 2021. Caller, thank you for joining us tonight. A question or comment thus far before we move on?
Not thus far. I just joined, so I don't know what everybody said and trying to get off into the topic first. So. But I definitely
okay.
have something to say.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us, and you feel free to jump in at any time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reiterate something I shared in the monologue about some steps that can be taken, okay? And I don't want anyone to be offended by it, but in the topic for tonight, there is a strong inference that somebody is, their mind is off track, okay? Somebody's mind is off track. And I don't know if y'all would agree with that premise or not, but let's start right there. Having said that, there are five things I believe that will be very useful. And it starts with arresting the individual whose mind is off track from their false sense of reality. In other words, they got to be shaken into reality. Okay? Now, that's not going to be easy, is it? Once you shake them into reality, what do you think, Pastor?
Okay. Yeah, it's not going to be
easy. I mean, let's be honest about it. You understand what I'm saying? And some of these people,
I like to say
37, I'm sorry, speak in your phone a little bit closer, Pastor. We can't hear you clearly.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there. I got it all right before me. And I was
okay.
just saying,
right.
You can hear me better now?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
Okay.
What you're saying.
All right. So the first point was individuals have to be arrested from their fallacy, their false sense of reality, okay, if you're going to help them. Now, oftentimes what I find is people want you to play crazy with them and live in
yep.
that fantasy. Is that
yep.
right, 3072? Is that right?
That is right.
They want you to play games with them in order for you to be their friend and pretend like you don't see egg on your face. That dog
mm-hmm.
will not hunt, though. Now, if I'm going to be your friend and help you, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, now, after I shake you, I'm not going to just leave you there with Pandora's box open. But I'm going to invest in you what is real. Somebody say keep it 100. Yeah, I'm going to
keep
invest
it 100.
In you. Yeah. What is truthful, what is real.
Mm-hmm.
See, and the truth of the matter is you got there some kind of way, and we're not demonizing you. We're not judging you, but we're identifying where there's a shortcoming, right, and offering
right.
you support and help to get where you need to be. So they need to be arrested first. Then there needs to be an investment of thought, an idea, right? Watch this. Then there is a need to change their environment, either in the short term or the long term. I mentioned earlier that there are three causes of disease. It could either be caused by some biological factor, which nobody can control. That's nature. Or it could be caused by some environmental factor or a behavioral factor. The two things that we can do anything with is the environment and the behavior. And what I was hearing St. Louis make reference to is the power that people have to look out for their children. That's a behavior factor, right? And we can work to create the environment, social environment, that our children grow up in such that they can get all of the support, the love that they need. We can control those two factors, okay? Right? And then I'm going to open the floor to you guys in just a second. Then, fourthly, establish rule and order. It never ceases to matter. Are you talking to us, Pastor Wallace?
No, I'm not saying it, man.
Okay. All right. Establish rule. It never ceases to amaze me how people make excuses for not being in order. Now, come on, man. Hey, when you walk, how many of y'all know that you put one foot in front of the other to take the steps? Is anybody that don't know that? and maybe that's not written anywhere, but that's the rule of walking. That's the rule of walking. You have to balance yourself. We must let young folk know that success comes with you setting a standard for yourself, an order for yourself, right, that comports with everyone else so you're not having conflict with other people. And then lastly, you have to defend yourself against anything or anybody who will try to take you off your game and encourage you to go back from whence you come. What do you think about that, 3072? Does that make any sense to you at all?
Of course it does. I want to apologize for keep sniffling. I'm so angry my grandkids then gave me a bug. But, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, even just to be a friend to someone, you have to be on the same level or mindset even, because it's like you said, somebody will just feel like you beating them up because, for one, you live your life a certain way. And then, two, right, if you're my friend, I want you to get some advantages that I'm having. You know what I'm saying? But,
sure.
No, some people can't see that. They look at it, they be envious, you think you're better than me, or, you know, so that's a upheaval kind of thing. But, I mean, there's always hope. I mean, a little as much when God is in it, and, you know, through Christ, all things are possible. But, wow, that's the job.
Right. Well, what do you think about that, St. Louis? Any thought on that, sir?
Well, it's like this. No one else is going to educate your church.
Okay.
And when you hear the conversation, you got people saying that they won't let us, they won't teach. Well, they shouldn't. That's your responsibility. You're in a world of competition. People that's in competitions are not going to be sharing secrets and also lending a helping hand to help someone else compete against them. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
I heard Pastor Wallace talk about kids playing basketball. I think that there's another problem amongst black society. The kids are either bouncing the ball, running the ball, carrying the ball, or having a ball to too great excess. Looking at what's coming down the pipe with artificial intelligence is going to eliminate 40 to 50% of the present jobs we have, and we're talking about a very short time. Well, the concentration should be on how to place yourself in a position where that does not become the norm for you. It should be the exception.
I see. Let me make sure I understand you. You're not saying that the game of basketball and the culture that goes with it is inherently bad. You're saying that there's not enough balance. I don't want to put words in it. What is your point that relative to basketball?
It's too much emphasis put on it for the net return.
Oh, I see. For sports in general, is that what you're saying? Athletics and so forth.
Absolutely.
Okay.
How many children go to waste to produce one Kobe Bryant?
Well,
they didn't get to go to the big stage. What is?
Well, yeah. That's interesting. I was listening to one of my workers in my office. He was talking about LeBron James was in a little hot water because he was opining on something that it seemed like he didn't know a whole lot about. But he made a lot of money in different things that was outside of basketball. And really they were just making the point that, man, that's what he does. That's how he got out there, is through basketball and athletics, you know. But to your point, how many people are able to be behind in front of the camera, right, and get the limelight that he does such that they would have that type of voice? Because there's a lot of talented people out in the – I knew growing up in the housing project, man, everybody can shoot a three-pointer. And a lot of folks can dribble and they can – you know what I'm saying? They can run it. But everybody didn't make it to the team, not even in school. So
Well, that's how they use.
Sure. Okay. What about that 4187? Do you have a comment on any of that?
I agree that he put so much emphasis on sports, and I had attended a thing one time. They said by 2030, which is right around the corner, a lot of these jobs will go away that people are doing because of modern technology. And we have to put emphasis on, I guess you say, pulling your, even to the point a lot of the kids want to do YouTubers and, which is nothing wrong with it, but everybody's not going to hear YouTube. Always have something else in your back pocket and be able to do multiple things. I guess even
right.
in our generation, some of my parents, you know, they did a bunch of different jobs to make things neat. But a lot of those jobs they did are not going to even be available in the future. So I agree with that, and trying to turn, it's hard because a lot of younger, we're talking about younger people, their perception is totally different than what
well,
we see.
Right.
You know.
Well, let me just say that I happen to know how Pastor Waller uses athletics as a means by which of catching individuals who, but for that, they would really be in a tough spot, right? And many of them will be winding up in juvenile detention, if not in fights and what have you, and things of that nature. So it does provide a very, very wholesome and a structured way to capture their attention and to keep them focused. Now, what he and I do is when we sponsor his and work with him with basketball camp, we slip a little education in there. You understand what I'm saying? He had some positive speakers and successful individuals speak to him last time. So it's not just the ball, but can you all appreciate that, how it can be a tool by which you can instill that discipline and some
it
rules.
Is.
I would have to agree that we don't want imbalance with it because a lot of times you hear young people dream about being a professional football player, basketball player, baseball player, right?
Well,
go ahead.
And I was going to say that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what they dream of, but they should have another plan as well. My kids didn't do ball in school, but they did band all throughout, you know, middle school and partially high school. Like you said, it taught them discipline and it kept them out of trouble. So why not, you know? Yeah, if they want to try to pursue ball, I would encourage that, but they should always have, you know, a backup plan as well.
Here's what a lot of young people
You know, some have. Schools don't have sports.
Yeah.
There are a lot of, that's true. A lot of them are cutting a lot of the art out, too, in schools.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, can I say something
One of the things
is, too, I try to encourage them, if you like this, that's perfectly fine. Just look at, say, for instance, sports. What other entities can you do if you can't make it on the court? What else can
right.
you do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Within that same profession. You know, and you're still in it. It's just that you just in it in a different capacity and do it in that particular way. And and sometimes they go, oh, okay, and then make you give them something to think and think about. Maybe.
But it's like, y'all remember Bo Jackson? Man, he was a All-American, good in everything, I mean, athletic-wise. That was a great thing. So, like she's saying, I mean, yeah, you can do multiple things. And whichever the one you're best at is where you'll be successful.
One thing I see is more of these retired athletes have went back and completed their education.
Yeah.
And they've started businesses. I
mm-hmm.
thought that was a very positive thing. I would love to see them encourage young people to say that even if you go after sports, make sure you get your grades. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get them grades. Get that degree.
Hey, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Guess what the amazing thing is about that? How many of us on this land right now believe in what the Bible says?
And that's not to belittle nobody. Let's just say I haven't always known one. But the Bible talks about athletics. So if God utilized the power of athletics, then I'm going to stand on what his word says. The word says in athletics, a man is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. In other words, you stand up to the rules, do your thing in sports, because the word of God talks about sports. See, a lot of people don't care about God, so you don't want to tell them nothing about anything other than what they want to hear. Because when you stand on the word of God, you got to stand on the tape, deny it no kind of way. You know, there's a book called Flipside. You remember? We talked about that book, Pastor Doctor.
Yeah, we
and
have.
It's, and the reason why I want to give credit to God, because God was so aware that I was unintelligent. There's no way I would have put me on the front cover of a book spinning a basketball. God ordained it because he knows sports was a big part of a person's life. And I didn't know it was in the Bible, though. You understand what I'm saying? So now he wanted me to know, no, you did not go to the NBA. You did not play for the Globetrotters. But that was a gift that I gave you. And you reminded me of it. I put it on the front cover of the book and then showed it to me in the scripture, 37:2. That he said, in athletics, a man is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. As long as I play fast, you know what I mean, and teach others. These little kids are so happy. These are the kids that used to live around the corner, Pastor Doctor, but then they done moved across town. And just so happened I was across town, seeing me coming through, you know, the first thing come out of their mouth, they say, oh, they go Coach Rick. They was like, rolled on past them and say, oh, no, I don't have time for y'all. Or should I have done what I did, man, stop by there, let them enjoy themselves for that little 30, 40 minutes of time. And guess what, 37:2? Their mother, when they found out, when she found out they was out there talking to me, because she was going to make them all come in the house, she said, after you get through talking with Pastor Wallace, she said, I want y'all to come on in. And she went on and left. Could you imagine? Her giving me overseer at that point over her kids.
All right.
How much joy that brings, man. So, you know, don't neglect the power of God giving you the instruction. And even though people may not know sports is in the Bible, but it is. It's really not having the Bible, but I'm going to stand on it. Some people don't know how to play sports. Some people don't know how to play sports, no way. So why would they go try to play sports if they don't know how to play? Just be humble and do what works for you. Don't try to force nobody to do anything, man. That's the thing about life. You say, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And like I said, you can gain all the money. You can get all the materialistic things in the world. He said, what is it if a man gained the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what would he give in exchange? And 37:2, I gave in exchange. You know all that money you say I used to have?
Yeah.
I got rid of all of it just to get the seat. So it ain't about
the difference is first knowing your soul. When you don't know your soul, you know it goes back to gain the whole world. So you don't even know what you're missing. But you learned that. You got it.
Yes, I did. I walked away from it. I walked away from it all. So I'm all right, you know, with that. And I'm going to keep shooting the basketball as long as I can.
So now, what do you say about bringing the balance, though, Pastor, to a young person's dreams and their aspirations, right, even in sports? And I know we've talked about this, and I've seen you share that with them as you counsel them. Talk about the balance, you know, because naturally you can't play basketball 24 hours a day, all your life. Talk about that other balance that you have to share with
there's so many things. There's options, you know what I mean? And these are intelligent kids anyway. They have gifts inside of them. And playing sports is just for exercise. Not just going to go to the That's all you know how to do. I mean, these kids are gifted. You know, they have their own gifts, and that's what they bring to the table. I don't bring to the table, hey, you're going to play basketball, because I was playing basketball pretty good at it, but I So I don't just teach basketball. I teach them to know that you have a gift, find out what your gifts are, and then you start to apply. So that's the beauty of it. You never know what the kids can become, but you got to meet them right where they are. And that's
right.
expanding. Yeah. I don't teach what I don't know. It would be very misleading if I did that. So there is a balance. Yes, there is a balance, without a doubt.
Sure, sure.
The only thing that I love the most is to make sure that they don't go down that avenue that I went down. That's the whole key to being out there,
right.
And that's the balance, right? Because the trap is
sure.
there. The trap is real.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and this is a point that is true, that as a parent, you have to take note of that, right, of what their gifts and talents are. And this goes to the environmental factor that I was talking about. And you have to provide the opportunities for them to experiment or explore different things. 3017, we're talking about our children's music. Music was a way for them to stay focused and balanced, not necessarily sport. But you have to find whatever it is that they gravitate to, they do well, right? And guess what? You have to invest, make an investment in that. Sometimes it may not be. You know, what were you trying to say something, 4187?
No, I just said I totally agree with that. That, you know, each and every individual is different, too. And I think if you're a parent and you're intuitive to your children, you're trying to get an idea what their talents and skills are. And sometimes we try to persuade our children in different directions, but I do agree that they got a skill and their talent. Let's push them towards that. And let it see how it works for them. And also, just give people options. Because what my option is not your option. And what I might be good at, somebody else may not be good at. Then sometimes you want to also look at things from a realistic perspective is that one of the things I told my kids that pursue your dreams, but be able to do something that can help you get a living. Because sometimes that dream may not come until later.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my option for them. And then later on, you do what you dream, but sometimes you may not do it when you're younger. But you have to be able to do something to take care of yourself.
Sure, sure. I was telling some young men a couple years ago at some of the seminars that I was doing that even when you pursue a degree, know that it's not that piece of paper that makes you worth anything, but it's what you do with it that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you set a goal for yourself, if you didn't get nothing but get a bachelor's degree in woodwork,
and
you set a goal for yourself and you work your plan toward that end, guess what? You're at the end of the day, you'll be in a position where you can say that I made my degree what? Worthwhile to me. The degree didn't make me, I made the degree.
Well,
so then, go ahead.
Well, here's what the problem is with that. Your degree is worthwhile to you, but it's not worthwhile to those who's looking for certain people. You have to be able to sell you. And if there's nobody out there that want what you got, then you just going to have it by yourself.
Well,
let a child determine their direction on their own is a big mistake. And it shows in the data. Why do you think there's so many Indians, doctors from India, working in medical fields in the United States? Simple. Because where they come from, they was pushed into those directions. I told my children, I said, you can be whatever you want to. But first, Papa's directions come first. And that's the way they have done. And once they get that out of the way, they can do whatever they want to. But mine come first. And that's where
you
have to be. I mean, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want to. But I'm just saying this. When you're looking at a particular ethnic group in society who lavishes down in the bottom in many measurements, like I read to you about those schools, a child is not going to know how to get themselves out of that. And the sad thing about this is the parents don't know either.
Well, let me say this, Angles. I take what you're saying. I'm not sure if I explain myself well. But before I do that, I see a call, 605-8125, coming right to you, caller. Bear with me just for a second. I take your point, Tampa, but consider this. The Rockefeller, old man Rockefeller, could not read and could not write, reported. But right now, his family are one of the wealthiest families in America. What he could do well is excavate and dig, and he found oil, and that made him filthy rich. And my point is that whatever it is that you pursue, you want to make yourself and what you have marketable to where people need what you have.
That's right. Rockefeller couldn't do that today.
Well, he don't have to.
Let's say somebody wanted to do like him. You can't do that today. When you're in a virgin state in the development of a country, everything is wide open. But as time goes by, them doors start shutting. Look at Elon Musk, what he's doing with his heavy lift rockets. He's taking over what NASA used to do because what he's doing. Now, it's only two companies out there that's doing that, and he's doing the best. Okay, best at it.
All I'm saying is, sir, that there are things that are in demand that I see potential with our young folk running the streets right now in urban America. They just don't know that they need you to keep doing what they do. And when you tap into that skill you got and that demand for you, man, you can set the course for you. But let me go to 6581. Welcome. We're talking from the topic, how to get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. I know you just joined us. Any question or comment thus far?
Well, I think both of you are right and both of you are wrong. And the major point is that you have to be marketable, like you said, and the other caller was talking about making sure that his kids get on track so that they don't pick careers that are going to go nowhere. But however, even if you have a career that goes nowhere at the time, if the person if you have a child who knows that, okay, my degree is getting me nowhere, you've got to shift gears. Yep. You got to go somewhere else. That's what I did. My degree got me nothing. So I had to shift. I had to go into a different industry. That's what America's about.
Okay. Well,
it's the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't mean that your first goal is...
One second. 17, 11,
it doesn't mean that your first goal is the one that you're going to reach. It means if you want the house and if you want to do it by being a nuclear physicist and you don't have the brains to be a nuclear physicist or there's a glut of nuclear physicists, then you get the house by being an entrepreneur and something else. You just don't do it exactly the way that you want it, but you can go ahead and make it.
Absolutely. Okay. I think a caller from Jacksonville, Florida wanted to respond to something you were saying, if you don't mind.
No, and I was just trying to get around at what the gist of what he was saying. A brother of mine and I were talking today. What is important is everybody should determine their own success. You should not be living for anybody other than yourself. Now, while living for yourself, you should live righteously, and try to do the best you can. But at the end of the day, you have to live with you. Mm. So as long as you're doing something positive and in the right step of what you want to do, to me, that's what's important. That's what I teach my kids.
Interesting. So
don't let anybody else determine success for you.
I see. So what I'm hearing you say.
There's one caveat.
Go ahead there.
There's one caveat I'd like to make.
All right, go ahead, 4187. Go ahead.
I agree with her. One second.
She was going to respond to you.
Okay.
Then
just mention
right
the area code.
Okay. I'm
605.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. 8125. I apologize.
Okay.
You got the floor, 8125. You got the floor. You got the floor.
Is that okay? The only one caveat, I believe that, yeah, personal success is personal success. Doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're happy with who you are, where you are, the friends and the family that you've got. That's all that really matters. At the same time, money is especially important. Money is not the conduit to happiness. Money will not buy you happiness. But it will get you out of those situations that are causing you a lot of aggravation.
Okay.
Well, I have to disagree with you on that, Joe.
I get up
when I get ready to. I eat where I want to. I travel where I want to. If I didn't have money, wouldn't you do that? And I'm happy.
St. Louis, you're unique.
Well, that's what I just said. That's
what I said. Can I say something, too? Let me say something.
What happened to 47?
Hold on one second, St. Louis. Don't lose your thought. I wanted to, 72 was going to say something, and then we'll bring you back in. No, that's okay. Good conversation. Right quickly, 72, you were going to say something, and you had a point that you were making there.
You determine your own success, but I wanted to hear what 47, I think she was trying to say something earlier.
Okay, 87?
Yeah, the other lady, that was on.
Were you trying to introduce something at 4187?
Well, I was trying. Yeah, I was, and I agree with kind of like what everybody's saying. I agree. Ultimate is everybody's thing. And I give you a prime example. I had a child, and I mean, she was like super gifted in track. Their last leg, their 4x4. We lived in Texas at the time, Texas Southern. They were out there, and everybody wanted. But she ran it. She was good, but she wasn't like, this is what I want to do. I don't want it, man. I'm like, you need to be run track. You know, that's your future. And she was very, very smart. She took a summer job. And guess what the summer job was? Dog grooming.
Not track.
That was from her. I mean, I was like, come on, baby. You ain't send you to school. I ain't do this. But you know what? She's close in her 40s now. And guess what?
Wow.
She probably making more money because she does it like designer dog grooming. And I remember people saying she's like a dog grooming whisperer. And I was like, I never saw that in her. I know she's always bringing animals home, but I never knew about the grooming. So I guess in a way it's kind of like everybody finding their own niche. And I give you another example, my nephew. My nephew, we went to school. We sent him to college. This boy just didn't get it. I was like, okay, this is going to be a late bloomer. What are we going to do with this boy? And I think he got frustrated at us because we were fussing at him so much. He started truck driving. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Boom. It was like a light bulb went off in his head. He owns two trucks. He drives the stuff and everything.
Awesome.
So sometimes people got to find their own niche. And it's kind of a combination of all. But I think we need to be there to support them into whatever they decide to do and not get caught up on titles that our children have.
I agree.
You tell somebody, your child's a dog groomer, and they look at you like, oh, you weren't very successful. And I'm thinking, oh, they make it more money than your children.
right.
So, just a thing like that. So that's all I had to say.
I think that's a valid point. Let me go to St. Louis. He was going to say. What were you going to say there, St. Louis?
No, you're successful when your child is successful. See, your pursuit of success should never stop. Just because your child reaches 18, that don't mean that your success in the form of directing your child should stop. So if you start early, everyone should start early, and they should do an assessment on the inner ability that a child has as they go along.
Okay.
By the fourth grade, you should know some things. They do it with basketball and football. They have basketball camps, football combines.
Mm-hmm.
And a coach would have a child running, jumping, throwing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would determine that you would be a good center or a forward or you'd be a tight end or a running back.
Okay.
Okay. Well, but you don't see that child in the – you don't see that child, although they'll be in the gym shooting 100 free throws, when they go home, they won't be doing 100 math problems.
I see.
I had a young man, a guy turned his nephew over to ask me to talk to him. His name is Jalen. He's in the ninth grade.
Mm.
He's completed all his college math already. Calc 1, Calc 2, exponential differential. He's looking at chemistry and physics. Those are the major first-year engineering studies in all of your colleges. And he's at the ninth grade. I think he's at the 10th grade, really. In high school, doing it. And he asked me, which engineer field should I go into? Mm-hmm. I didn't tell him. I gave him some information that he should use to choose. And I still, I sent him things that he should look at, I think. So, no, your success is when your least one in your family is successful. And that's what I think that you should work for. Now, people can do whatever they want to. Ain't no, this ain't no prescription because everybody just ain't going to make it. Or they can't. They're going to do what's easy for them. I mean, that's just the way human beings are. But as I said before, when you look at the data, something's got to change unless people are satisfied with where they are as a group.
Let me say this. Yes, sir. I get what you're saying. Let me say this. One of the things about social science is that it cannot be exact because it really focuses on people. And from one generation to the next, one historical set to the next, people change. So you can't say categorically what happened 10 years ago to a certain set of people is going to automatically happen now in the present because people change. And that's one of the reasons why social science is not as exact as engineering or chemistry or physics and so forth and so on. And so we have to account for the fact, as has been iterated here already, that everybody has a different motivation, a different drive, and that requires support on different levels. There are a number of variables that's involved.
Suppose their motivation is to get off track.
Well, that's what we're talking about right now, how to get a derailed mind. Now, and what
maybe they don't want to be.
Well, hold on one second. I'm glad you asked that question. Because here's what I found.
Yeah.
Even when people say, I don't want to, all you got to do is observe them, and then you'll find out exactly what they want. Oftentimes, they don't know what they want. And the best thing you can do is to help them discover themselves. If you do that, you're really helping them. You're really helping them if you do that. And that's an interesting thing about the social sciences. You've got to realize that people, a lot of times people come, they say, I'm going to teach you or I'm going to help you. They take over folks' lives. That's the wrong approach. You've got to stand back and allow them to identify what it is they say they want and how they operate.
Tried that with some young people today? And if you have, what is it that they say they want?
Great,
and it's based on what?
And it's interesting you say that because I believe Toronto, Canada is here. And when I first met him, he used the model that I use. And he said, Toronto, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Toronto, but I heard you say that you ask a series of questions, probing questions to young people about what it was they wanted, what they were interested in. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And when you got to listening to them, you showed them how what they really want. Did I capture that right, Canada? St. Louis, this is related to your question. Did I capture that right?
Yeah, you did.
It's a couple of years ago. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right. And one of the things that even organizations that are put together, like Fortune 500 mm-hmm. companies, like when I've gone in there as a, you know, as a technology analyst, right, or, mm-hmm. or a technology strategist, one of the first things you do is you interview and you try to figure out what exactly they're trying to accomplish. right?
Mm-hmm.
And what they, you know, mm-hmm. what they're trying to do. After about a couple of weeks of discussion, you usually find out that what they really want is not what they said they wanted at the beginning, right? This is a series of questions
right.
that you ask. So even people that supposedly have it together sometimes don't really know until you probe. You know, it's just like figuring it out. Like there was, I don't know if you guys know, there's a case in Washington, D.C., and they were asking why the monuments, some of the monuments, were deteriorating. And then somebody mm-hmm. said, well, they're deteriorating because the birds, there's bird droppings on the monuments. And that was the answer. But what it was they were asking why the, you know, then they had to probe, why are the birds there? And the birds were there because they were eating something that was there, like an insect.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, why are the insects there? The insects are there because the light is there. Why is the light on? So the answer to the question was not because the birds were there, it's because they turned the lights on at the wrong time that attracted the certain insects that the birds ate, right? So you have to probe and ask questions, and then you'll get to the bottom. So you're absolutely right. These kids may say they want
hey,
money,
Patrick.
But it's not money that they want. Yes. Joe, what's going on?
Yeah. Have you found when you're questioning these people, because I've done a little bit of, let's say, minor consulting. The one thing that I've found, okay, from companies is this, is that no matter what they say, even if you try to implement what they say they want, have you heard them say, well, we just don't do that here?
Yeah, it's called,
I've
you know,
heard that.
Requirements.
I've heard
it's
yeah.
requirements gathering. So, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I have to tell them, you cannot have progress without change. But
that's right.
We just don't do that here. You know, and you want to smack them.
Well, that's a good point, gentlemen. And let's relate that to our topic right quickly. When we talk about a derail, the inference there is that something is off what? Or out of order, off track. And the reality is people have got to come to understand and eventually accept that you're not going to be able to function properly off track until we get things on track for you. Not necessarily for what somebody else wants, but you need to know what is the appropriate way for you. The Bible said, train up a child in the way that he should go. What is that way? The only way a parent's going to know that is to be in tune with their children, identify their actions, their wants, and the things that they gravitate to. That takes time. That takes investment. And that takes resources often. But great point that you guys are making. Great point that you guys are making. Let me do a little stop there. You're listening to Talk Straight, our topic tonight. How to get a derailed mind back on track in America. Here's where we are. I see a lot of things in the news media right now, and I hear different people on different sides of arguments. In reality, what young folk need is not for old folk who are caught up in their mess to get in their way. If you're not trying to help them, just go sit down or go somewhere else, because all you're going to do is exasperate the problem. Just leave them alone. Just go somewhere else. Do something else. But what they really need is somebody to tell them the truth. And those are the five things that I intimated earlier. The first thing is to arrest them from that false reality. I mean, that fallacy that they're living in. There are a lot of people who are living in a real fallacy. And 72, you said it right. It's some chronologically grown folk who you would assume by now should have gotten it together. And that's my point. Those people should respectfully just get out of the way if you don't know or you're not interested, and let those who understand these processes are motivating, encouraging, and teaching and guiding them to do that. I mean, that's really where we are in 2020.
Well, you know,
Go ahead, Taylor.
It also gets back to the point of what age group you're working with. So you're talking about young adults or adults in their late 20s.
Okay.
And my emphasis is on the young children coming through elementary school going into high school.
Okay. Okay.
Because they're the ones, you know, you try to, you know, when I didn't go to the military, Vietnam, because the government said I was more valuable here in the profession I was in. So I was deferred.
Okay. All right.
And that meant that they had a shortage of people in that particular field. Well, the likelihood is that you start training young people to go into that particular field. Therefore, you alleviate the shortage. We have many shortages in many different fields here in the United States today, especially in technical fields. And it's quite apparent because you have foreigners coming from all over the world who, wherever they came from, they was directed into the areas of study that made them available for what the United States needs. Well, I'm the person who thinks that those positions should go to U.S. citizens first. The last administration said that too. But it's not happening as much as it should. You know, when you look at, and we talk about black Americans who make up 13% of the population. Well, that percentage that they make up in the population should be reflective in certain fields, especially fields that are very critical along the lines of the security of the country and also that make the country, quote unquote, move forward and be able to answer when time comes for it to answer. Doctors, we need help. You need scientists. Okay. You need people in your commercial trade.
All right. Let me I have a caller here, 407-4427. Looks like first-time caller. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. Our co-host is Pastor Ricky Waller. We're talking from the topic, how to get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. Question or comment thus far?
Yes. First, this is Nathan in Orlando. I'm sitting here enjoying your conversation.
Thank you, sir. Here's
what I've noticed, and I've noticed it from my childhood up, and I was one of them children that were stinking because of the circumstances of much of my childhood, and I was not just like, you know, I'm not following what I might follow the leader, but I'm not thinking like the leader, and I'm asking questions. If you remember, there was a time, and we don't remember it, but there was a time in history, and I've seen this with what little bit of history I know. There was a time that the world was flat in people's minds. That's a paradigm, and you know, you could really struggle with this. If I walk long enough, and I don't know where the end of the earth is, am I going to fall? Now, I also need to keep in mind gravity. Gravity, what am I going to fall from and to? But it took a generation. Well, first it took somebody to travel around the world by boat, and they said, no, the world isn't flat. And then later it takes a globe in the classroom so you can look at where you're at and spin the globe around and see where another country's at. It takes a generation for that next generation. But right now, if you say the earth ain't flat, you're a devil. You got a demon in you.
I see.
It takes a generation of education, and we've seen this in some of our racial issues. It was a time when somebody said this man is a human being, and it takes a generation for that to click in a lot of people's minds. And it's because some people are thinking and other people are thinking what they were taught. And let me give you just one other point. When I was a kid coming up in the 70s, and I look back on it and learn more about it but in 72 there was a something being promoted in media, psychology, and in entertainment, and that is if you're not happy with your spouse, it's best for the children to separate. Men started leaving their wives, and we were also watching on TV, we got the single mother, the Partridge Family, and everything seemed to be, like, pretty good there. And we got the Brady Bunch, a blended family that every problem in the world could get fixed in 30 minutes. But if you came from that in real life, you're sitting there going, no, this doesn't make sense. But most people, because that's not their experience, they're sitting there looking at this and it's just, wow, I like that show and I think that girl there is cute. And we grow, and I've learned something. You can get a man that's 40 years old, 50, 60, and tell him something that he's known all his life and it seems to work for him, okay? It's hard to change that man's mind. And I just got in a situation, and I'm going to close on this. I agree with you guys that we need to keep thinking. And we need to disagree when we think and be corrected or be heard if we're right. But I just recently talked with a guy. And I'm not going to name his name, but most people would know the guy's name if I mentioned him. He teaches the Constitution. He's a constitutional expert. And this is what I told him. There is no electoral college in the Constitution as we know it. And he says, yes, it is, and he gave me the reference. I said, do me a favor, quote it for me. Or copy and paste it and send it to me. And we were in a verbal constant conversation. And he was just telling me, no. I said, no, what you know is history, sir. You got a paradigm of what we've learned through history, but you haven't read or paid attention to the Constitution. And I tell you what, I'll make you a bet. And I'm not a betting man, but I'll make this bet because I know I can win. I will bet you any finger that if you can show me the Electoral College in the Constitution, I will, and I'm wrong, we'll go to the doctor, and you pick which finger you want amputated. And I said, but when you lose, I'm not going to demand the thumb because I don't want you to live with not being able to grip. But you could not prove to me the Electoral College and the Constitution on your life if you had to bet on it.
Okay.
And you know what? He told me, he wrote me back later and told me, you know, I've never noticed this before. But
Nathan,
it took me being extreme to make him think.
I see what you're saying. Nathan, I happen to have it to my right in my office. And guess what? I have to agree with you. It's not in there. It's hanging on my wall.
I can quote it. I can quote it from memory, and that's why I'm confident with it.
Well,
but what I'm saying is, and I don't want to get on a political or any one issue. I just want to stay on the issue of thank you for thinking. Thank you for thinking and challenging people to think, because sometimes we don't think about whenever I do what you tell me we got to do, and it seems to be the better thing than these people are doing, and guess what? Next thing you know, I don't get to find out until after we've made it down in history, and I'm looking back and going, you know, if I had to do it all over again. So I would say what you guys are saying, I'm challenged by what you guys said, but the big key here is let's keep thinking, and don't get mad at others because they think different. Let's challenge their thinking.
Yeah. You know, there's a saying that you don't understand where a man is coming from unless you walk the mile in his shoes. And I think that's apropos to what you're saying. And depending on the individual, right, and the impact of circumstances or situations or stimulus and what have you, they'll respond. And each of them are likely to respond differently. You may find similarities in the response, but the reality is, and I think this is the point Jacksonville, Florida made earlier, and that is everybody have various interests, and they have to find success for themselves. They have to define that.
Yeah.
Now, as an educator, I was always telling my students and my pupils when I taught high school what defining to them what success was, graduating, moving on. And I realized that even with that, what you want to do is equip them with the tools that will be useful for them to find their way. That's the most important thing. Not to try to define them with the behaviors that they must engage in, but you equip them with the tools and allow them to determine how to use those tools to make themselves marketable in the world. And that's where their success comes from. That's what I would argue.
So well, I'm going to hang up and keep listening. But you keep, the big key is to just keep people thinking, because what we think and what we know, it really is who we are. And it's in our soul. It's who we are.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you for calling.
Would anybody else like to respond to that, to that point that was made?
Well, to Nathan, no. I mean, if he proved himself right, he proved himself right. I just wanted to reemphasize that the woman who was talking about that success that you were just mentioning a few seconds ago is a personal evaluation. If you like mm-hmm. who you are, where you are, what you are, who you're doing it with, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
Have you ever...
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if anybody's ever saw a very successful person that you knew had clout, they had degrees, they had everything, but they still just were not happy. That is one way I would not encourage anybody to be, because I feel like all of their accolades came from somebody else's approval.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the man that hung up mentioned about the soul and within you, and, yeah, that's the first step is, I think, is that a lot of parents are, you know, not worrying about, because we want our children to be successful and make money and, you know, and all that. But, again, Pastor Wallace spoke about losing your soul, you know, that needs to be instilled, too.
Sure.
Well, you know, those religious terms, all people don't believe in that. So we get right back to the same thing again. If a person want to, they can, but all people don't believe in those same doctrines. And they got a right to, especially here in the United States. So people have to take that into consideration. I don't, me myself personally, I don't, but maybe Joe do, or maybe Reuben do. But all people don't believe in those things.
But you're right, St. Louis, and because of the fact that, particularly in America, you know, you have that right to pursue, to define happiness and to pursue it
as
you choose. You're absolutely correct. And, of course, you know that, I'll be the first to be honest, I have somewhat of a bias there just because of who I am and what I come from. And that's okay. We open the floor for others to share their perspective and their position. I don't try to encourage anyone to change that.
I only kept mentioning that, Reverend Dockery, because you mentioned about balance.
Yeah, sure. I happen to believe that this is what I believe, that however you call it, there is a what I'm calling a spiritual element to success, right? Somebody
mm-hmm.
may define it.
Yeah.
They may define it in a physical term or in some other scientific term or some other expression. That's okay. I mean, that's perfectly fine. But I happen to believe that whatever that motivation is, now you're going to hear me. You're going to hear me talk about the word. You're going to hear me intimate that because that's who I am. Now, and I'm very well capable of relating that to people on a number of different levels. And that's what I've been doing the last 25 years. So,
you know,
absolutely, everybody has to follow their path of understanding and the light that guides them. Go ahead, Senator.
One of my most famous successful persons is a man by the name of George S. Patton. And I can name another one, Chester Nimitz.
All right.
And Leahy, for what they done when the United States was fighting against the Japanese Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And they was very successful overall in what they done. So that's just, it just determined on the direction and what people are looking at. And as I said before, it gets to a point when no matter what you do, how much money you spend, it must be something about money because everybody wants a stimulus and you got people talking about reparation. That's money. But no matter how much money you spend and the programs that you put in place, some things you just can't get out of some people. It just ain't going to happen. And really, people could have saved a lot of time by taking individuals through assessments. Assessments are very, very valuable. assessments tell you where you can go with this. This could be a car. This could be a airplane. This could be a person.
Yeah.
Assessments tell you what your inner abilities are that you would need to make improvements on, or you would not be good for what it is that you're looking at. Isn't it not true that when students go into college, on orientation day, they have to take assessments to see if they have what they need in order to be successful in the coursework that they're pursuing? And if they're not, what do they have to do? They have to take remedial learning, because something in the past did not prepare them for that point in time when they're ready to say, I'm ready to go into that, but all indications say, no, you're not.
I think, so, St. Louis, when you were speaking, I thought about an experience I had. There's a gentleman, and I understand he's still in prison today because he got a life sentence. He had killed someone, right? And I was working there as a correction officer. And I happened to have been supervising his pod, and this guy could take plastic bottles like the 7-Up bottles with the green and the light color bottles and the darker colors with plastic and make all sorts of ointments and birds and designs and what have you. And so one day I happened to watch him in the little shop area, and it was mesmerizing, actually. And make a long story short, I asked him, I said, when did you start doing that? He said, man, I didn't realize that I could be focused like this and to be skillful like this until I, to use colorful terms, messed up and wind up coming in here. It was with the fact that I couldn't control when I got up every morning, what I wore, where I went and who I interacted with, that I started focusing on my skills and talents. And this dude, he got life now. I mean, but my point is that a beautiful talent that came out only after he got locked up. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Just imagine, you all, what would happen if we were able to tap into that sort of thing on these young guys that are in the streets right now, bumping their heads, just like little urchins in the street. How many more talented individuals can we catch up? They may be able to come up with...
You can. You can if you got the money and the resources to do so. If that's what a person wants to do.
I'm not sure it all takes money and resources.
You got to have a building, don't you? You got to have a building. You got to have books. You got to be able to feed them. All that takes resources, don't it?
Well, not necessarily. I hear where you're coming from, but not necessarily. I would argue that just like in China, they don't have very many big factories and buildings in a lot of their little areas. Many of them started out in their homes, and they used their land, and they basically, all of them worked together. And what happened?
Well, you can bring them into your house, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that if people are organized on that level, I'm not suggesting that that is the case right now, under the conditions that a community was organized on that level where they shared their resources, whatever they were, they can transform the lives of the young people in that community. That's what I'm saying.
But even in doing that, it takes individuals, because trying to get a community to fall in line with any one particular idea has proven not to work in the past. So it takes that individual. That individual has to go and put those initiatives in place. A resource can be under a shady tree outside in the park, but it's still a resource that's needed.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's all I'm saying. It's really up to the individual, right? I think that's what we're saying in agreement, is that it's really up to you to use what you got, make it work for you. You know what I mean? Sometimes you may have to take a fork and eat cereal with it. I don't know how that's going to work, Toronto, because the milk going to fall through there, but eat real fast, you know? then turn the bowl up. Is that right, Toronto? I mean, make it work for you, though. I mean, do whatever you got to do. Do what you got to do.
I agree. I mean, I think this is I think, like St. Louis mentioned, assessment. I think that's something that we talked about on one of your previous programs as it relates to school.
Right.
And we were saying how important assessments are before kids start school. So I agree with that. I think the assessment, I think they need to be given information. You know, even if some of the information is as adults, we don't know. Right?
Mm.
Right? I mean, that's something that's kind of hard for adults to kind of admit and say, but
that's true.
They need
right.
to be given the correct information and need to be told the truth.
Right.
And I think that's a large part of it. I think I think these young people are not told the truth.
They're
not told the truth about what kind of system that they live under, that they live in. They're not told the truth about the economic system that they live in, the constraints and some of the opportunities and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just not told the truth. They're told platitudes, and they're patronized to, and they're told things like, you know, just keep your head up and you can do whatever you set your mind to, but there's a set of instructions there that they're never given. Mm-hmm. So they don't know when people say that, like, what exactly do you mean? You know, they're not
right.
told about routine and how routine affects you psychologically and how getting a routine is important and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
They're just told these things and then not giving any other information, right? So I think telling the truth and giving them truth and information is important.
They told the same thing in the locker room before they go out on the field for the big football game. So how are they hyped up there?
Well,
same thing in the locker room on the NBA game.
But they're shown how to do it. That's what practice is for,
right?
Practice is all day. You're practicing in the hot sun. They tell you exactly how to do it. And they're saying, hey, if you do this to the best of your ability and you put your mind to it, then you can do it. You're given a set of instructions. You're given all of these things in practice, and that's how you do it. Repetition over and over and over and over
Absolutely.
And over until you're about to fall out. And psychologically, that helps you to do a task. But you go to a young man on the street and say, hey, you can just do whatever you put your mind to. It's not, I mean, he's going to be like, what are you talking about?
It sounds good. Better get hopeless.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But overall, it's still the parent's responsibility, being that you're dealing with a child, and the child is protected by their innocence. That's of the parents. But, you know, earlier we said some parents don't know how to do it themselves.
You're right, St. Louis. You're dead right. And I was just going to say, in an ideal world, you know, parents would be on top of that. But in the real world, the truth is we have to educate in a respectful way. So, see, they are the parents. They have the legal guardian and authority. So you have to respect that. But some kind of we have to model that for them as a community and as a group of how
And some parents do, though. Like, you got parents who say that they don't want their child taught a critical race theory, where you got teachers who really shouldn't be doing it unless that's the direction that the parents want the education to go, is saying, no, I think I'm going to teach this. Well, they need to be fired. That's not your child.
that gets into, again, the nuances of those variables that are controllable and non-controllable, right? At the end of
In
the
many
day,
cases, that's
right.
what the law says. The law says that what that teacher teach, textbooks and curriculum, is up to the district school board, which is the parents and stakeholders. That's what the law says.
And that's a whole nother conversation. But I appreciate what you're saying. We've got about 9 minutes here before we get out of here. We've been talking from the topic. How to get a derailed mind back on track for success. And I want to say this. I want to recognize again that I understand the understatement there, right? The inference that some people's minds are off track. And I say that respectfully. Yes, it's clear. I mentioned in the monologue how you identify that, right? But here's the good news. even though Doctor's mind may be off track and messed up, the good news is there's hope for it, right? And there is a process by which we can ensure that he get his mind right, that he get his mind right, and that he get it together. And just right quickly, let me reiterate those four things. I ain't going to stay on it long. I ain't going to stay on it long, 72. I'm just hit it, I'm going to quit it. Arrest him from his false thinking. Invest Dockery with the right, with the truth and information that's necessary. Change his environment. Help him to change that. And establish order for him. And defend him against anything or anybody that threatens his new state of being. Then you'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Let me do this. Let me go around the panel here. You guys have been great. And I want to thank gentlemen from 605 from South Dakota, from Orlando, Florida, for joining us tonight. Now this is my good friend right here, 4187. I'm kind of sweet on her, y'all. I got to tell the truth. We appreciate her joining us tonight. 3072. Let's go around. Let's start with you, 4187. Final thought before we wrap the show up tonight.
I came on late, but I really enjoyed everything I heard. And it's like taking a little bit of all of it and kind of putting it together on making a plan. And I do agree that it starts with each individual. And as a person, and we can start within our own families, with our own children, and then scale out. Another thing I just want to say quickly, sometimes we need to quantitate what is success. Because what's success for one person is not success for another person. So what is success? Because they're showing that a lot of these younger people now don't want the big houses. They want to just live and enjoy themselves. To us, that's not success. Well, you know, we want to think you got to work, got to get your money and do all this. So what is success? And we have to look at it into each individual eyes. And like you said, if you can identify a particular strength or something in your children, I do say push it, because that is what other groups do. They identify and they push. Okay, that's it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. And what about it, 3072? Final thought before we get out of here?
Great show. I'm going to yield the floor.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. I know you've been working late, but we appreciate you coming in there. St. Louis, what about it, sir?
Well, look at success. You got African immigrants that come here, and also they first, second, third generation. They outperform economically and academically than the natives that's here in the country. What is it that they're doing? Should they not be studied and maybe mimicked? Think about that. And that derailment, one of the ways to get people that derailed back on is to don't let them get derailed in the first place. There's certain things that you should do with a child. One thing is that teach a child to have respect for authority.
Okay.
That respect for authority should start in the household.
Amen.
Then it goes to their educational environment. Then it should work out in the street. One of the things that we bombard today is police brutality. And if you watch that which is being shown and put the logical scientific principle of cause and effect, it's something that caused what you are witnessing that people are complaining about.
That's right.
Cause and effect. Teach your young people to comply. Your son complied to your wishes at the house, Reuben. If not, he probably would have been out on the street.
Well, he got that belt or that 9 and a half. Yeah, one of them.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, yeah, I take your point. All right. Well, we appreciate that, sir. Appreciate good conversation. Good conversation. And, you know, what we'll do is we'll wrap it up right there, guys. You've been listening to Talk Straight. And we've been talking straight. We appreciate all of our followers and our participants here. We're talking from this topic, how to get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. Well, we're going to ask Pastor Wall, our co-host, to wrap us up for tonight. and bring us to a close here. Pastor, you got the floor, sir.
Hey, Pastor Doctor, how to get a derailed mind back on the right track, man. I tell you, I'm so glad that was my mind, man, that was derailed like that. So I have to recommend Jesus, brother, because that's how I got mine back on the right track, man.
All
my
right.
mind was something different now. And that's not just talk. That's the truth, because the truth is what's going to make us free. And anytime you put the Lord first, you've done your part. Because he don't jump in second, third, fourth, or last. First or not at all. I think the reason why I say that. I'm glad everybody that took me in. I'm glad everybody had a chance to talk and listen. But most of all, I know that the Bible says, not what I say, because you know I don't trust me. And it says, Matthew states it very clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. How can you beat his order? Trying to different life. Yeah, back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
All right. With that, we're going to look forward to coming back Thursday night for another round here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Duffy, our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. And again, we thank all of our callers and listeners. Feel free to join us here Thursday night for another episode of Talk Straight. Until then, we're going to turn it over to the Friends of Distinction as they take us home.
With time to go, that different sound. Oh, will I feel that way? Close my door, my children say, oh, what am I to do? My mind is in.